Lord. These verses that I'm about to read out of 1 Kings chapter 3 have been pressing on my heart the last 2 days very heavily. I was reading over them about 2 weeks ago, and God just brought something back to mind, something I think I preached some time back, and I can't get away from that tonight. We're preaching about love, and we're looking tonight at the immeasurable love of God found in 1 Kings chapter number 3, and I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I shall not be long preaching. I'll ask you to stand to your feet. Lord willing, I shall not be long preaching, but I might be long reading these verses. Verse 16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. She said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 28, if correctly read. Not one time does the word love appear in the text, but it is filled with the love of God. Father, would you open your word to us tonight? Teach us, help us, bring us to understanding, help us to appreciate more the love of God than we did when we first came in. Lord, I pray you would take your word and cause us to hear and understand. Preach us, Father, in power, and I ask your help in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, Amen. Thank you for standing. Solomon had prayed for wisdom. Earlier in this chapter, God said, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon asked that God would give him wisdom. And God certainly did so. And there is wisdom in this story. You certainly see that all of Israel feared the king because they saw the wisdom of God was in him. And yet, this is a love story, because 1 John 4:8 tells us that God is love. Now, the first mention of love in Scripture is found in the book of Genesis chapter 22, verse 20, verse number 2, when God said to Abraham, "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest." You know, God told him to offer him unto the Lord, and God stopped him short of doing that, but it was a picture of the love of God. I want to say that in the home there should be love. I first learned the song, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." I learned it in my home. I also heard the song, "Jesus Loves Me," in the home. There is something about the home with mama and daddy. There is love in the home that teaches us about God. And parental love is a reflection of love we have from the Father. Here we find a woman that loves her child. Number one, I want us to think about the supremacy of love. Love is the greatest of all other attributes or characteristics. The Bible tells us about this woman that she had such a love for her child, she was willing to sacrifice and live without it for the rest of her life. So I think about the supremacy of her love. Her love covers her sin. Verse 16, we have totally forgot about the fact that these women were harlots. They lived an immoral lifestyle, yet she's a mother. And because of the way she loved her child, as I read the story, I completely forgot that she was a sinner, that she was a harlot. You see, her love for her child covered her sin. Love convinced her judge. When she stood before King Solomon, we know that she tells the story how that she had had a baby and her friend had a baby. And she woke up in the night and the babies had been switched because the one baby, the woman overlaid it and now has moved it into her bosom and took from her the living child. And there's no telling how many judges and how many lower courts she appeared before. Time and time again, she told this story, recounted the facts over and over again. And every time she appeared before a magistrate or a judge and went to court, appeal after appeal, finally she pled her case to the king. And when the king heard it, finally he said, "Bring me a sword. We're going to divide the child." And the Bible says in verse 26 that her bowels yearned upon her son, and she said, "Give her the living child." You see, love convinced her judge of the truth. I have a preacher friend who got on an airplane and was flying overseas. And when he did, he was flying alongside a man that he looked at and said, "Sir, are you a Christian?" And he said, "No, I'm not. I'm a Muslim." They began to talk and he began to witness to him. And finally, the Muslim asked this question, "Can you explain to me why Christians love, but why Muslims hate? Why Muslims kill?" And before the plane ride was over, the love of God had won out, and the Muslim was converted to Christian faith. What about that? You see, it was love that convinced him of salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say that not only did her love cover her sin, and her love convinced her judge, but her love conquered her foe. Many times after this event had happened, she probably tried to say, "Give me my son," and she tried to wrestle that woman and try to take that baby away from that woman, but she could not wrestle the baby away from her foe. But her love won the victory. Her love was able to get that baby, her baby, away from her foe. Would you hear this for a moment? We have foes, we have frenemies, we have enemies, if you will. Matthew 5:43 says, "You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But Jesus said, I say unto thee, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. There's a man who had been raised up in the Catholic Church. He was married and he got a divorce. It was a very painful thing that he went through. And when the divorce, which was not sanctioned by the church, happened, this man was excommunicated from the church. He was told that he was cursed of God. And he spent the rest of his life avoiding church, any discussion about church. He became an immoral person. And finally, years later, he got married, but he knew, remarried, he knew that he could never go back to the church. And one night, a Baptist preacher, a friend of mine, knocked on his door and said, I want to come in and talk to you about being saved. I want to talk to you about the love of God. He said, get out of here, I'm cursed of God. Get out of here, I'm excommunicated from the church. Get out of here, I don't want to hear anything about it. And every single week on Tuesday night, my friend would come knocking at his door. You could set your watch by him. At 6 o'clock, my friend was knocking on his door. Many times the man would send his wife to send the preacher away because he didn't want to deal with him anymore. But finally one night, almost a year of knocking on that door, finally, he said, you know what? It can't be so bad. He comes so faithfully. I'm going to invite him in. And guess what? When he got inside that living room, he was able to sit down and explain the plan of salvation through God's only begotten Son. And my friend led that man to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What was it that happened? The man made this statement. He said, he came so many times to my house. He must have loved me so much and so concerned for my soul that finally I let love win out. Hey, friends, love will conquer your foe. Love will convince your judge. Love will cover a multitude of our sins. The Bible says in Romans 5:8 that the love of God, which has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So there's the supremacy of love. Number two, there's the selflessness of love. Let's talk about it. Love, this is what love says. Love says, what can I do for you? For God so loved the world that he gave. It's not what we did, but it's what God has done. Love says, what can I do for you? Here's what love does. I was thinking this morning, y'all were singing about the faithfulness of God. It just eat me up. I've got to thinking about it. Love is faithful to its objects. Now, how many magistrates, how many depositions, how many lawyers, how many judges did she appear before? How many times did she face her adversary? How many times was she called a liar? How many posts was on her about her on Facebook? How many times was she run down? But let me tell you something. Love took it as far as she could, and she's unwilling to give up on this boy. She loves him, and she's going to take it to every higher court. You see, love doesn't give up. Love is faithful. I have a friend that prayed for some friends to be saved 10 years, and finally after 10 years, they were born again. Say amen right there. You've got objects of prayer you've been praying for more than 10 years. Hey, love is faithful to its object. Love will keep you praying. I have a little lady. She would pray for me as a young minister. I was so scared and timid and afraid to go out. And I had this precious lady. She would pray for me. She said she'd wake up in the night praying for me. She said, I go to my own church and you come to my mind wherever you're at preaching and I pray for you. And I want to tell you something about that woman. She had a boy that was lost. And I went to see this little lady and visit with her and thank her for praying for me as she had. And at the same time, request that she'd pray for me coming up on this Sunday, this next Sunday, because I had a heavy burden. And she prayed over me. And as I started to leave, she said, son, can you answer me a question? Why has God not saved my boy? I've prayed for my boy, I pray for you, and I pray for others, and I pray for my boy, and God answers here and here and here and here, but he's never answered about my own boy. And I said, but you're still praying for him today, right, sister? She said, oh yes, I prayed for him even as I prayed for you just now. And I said, well, here I have a question. If God answered that prayer request, would it cause you to get off your knees? If God answered that prayer request, would it cause you to quit being so dedicated in your prayer life? Would you quit praying for me and I need it so? Would you quit praying for your pastor and for your church? And she looked at me and she said, I never thought about it like that. And she said, I probably would rejoice when God saved him, and I might not be as effective in my prayer life. She said, that is what it is, preacher. And she said, would you pray with me? And I got down without saying a word, and you ought to heard her begging God to save her boy. And you ought to heard her say, oh God, I promise you this. If you'll save my boy, I won't quit praying for this boy. And I won't quit praying for my preacher. And Lord, I'll be thankful and I'll be rejoicing. And God, I promise you, I vow to you, I'll not get off my knees praying and serving you. And you know what? Within about a month, guess who got saved? Her boy. Here's why. Love is faithful to its object. Love will not give up. Thank God for it. This woman's love, she did not give up. Let me tell you what else. Love feels for its object. You may say, Pastor Darren, love doesn't feel. Well, verse 26, I seem to think that it does, because the Bible says that her bowels, her innermost being, yearned upon her son. She was overwhelmed at the thought of her son. The king had called for a sword and let that child be divided. And when that happened, her bowels yearned upon that son. She couldn't take that anything would happen to her child. You see, she feels for it. She was moved with compassion for her very own child. Jesus was oftentimes in the scripture moved with compassion for people that needed to be saved, for people that were destitute, for people that were depraved. Hey, love will forfeit for the good of its object. Think about it. Solomon said, I can't really tell whose baby this child really is, and so just divide the baby. And the woman said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child. She was willing to spend the rest of her days sorrowful, in hardship, with a broken heart over someone else raising her baby. Yet what really mattered was that her baby would live and she would go on sorrowing through difficulties and in hardships. She's saying, I will pay the price for the one I love so that they will not have to suffer. Oh, I think about the selflessness of love. That's the message. Now let me compare those two little things to the love of God, to the love of our Savior. We said, first of all, that there's the supremacy of love. And let's look past this harlot's love, and inside this love, there's a reflection of a greater love. It's the love of God, if you will. We had said that love covered sin. When we read about this woman, and her love for her child, we forgot she was a harlot. May I say that God's love has covered my sins? Once I got saved, no longer am I standing condemned. I do not stand condemned. There is no condemnation in Christ. But tonight I've been accepted in the Beloved. May I read some verses of Scripture to you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 2:4, for his great love wherewith he loved us. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. His love, by shedding his blood, has covered my sin. Love covers a multitude of sins. Her love convinced her judge. Think about it. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He says in 1 John 2:1, I want you to turn there. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1. If this verse is not underlined in your Bible, if it's not underscored, if you allow that, I ask you to do it. You need to mark this place in 1 John chapter 2 at verse number 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Here I was, brought in as a criminal, guilty, a sinner, and I stood before the judge of all glory, God Almighty Himself. And when I bowed and asked for mercy, when I bowed and confessed myself a sinner, when I bowed and asked Jesus to forgive me, when I bowed and asked Him to save me, you know what He did? He stood with me. He stood as my advocate. Now you see, an advocate is not a defense lawyer like some of us think. He's not my defense lawyer. He's an advocate, the scripture says. An advocate is one who takes your part. An advocate is one who takes your side, stands with you side by side. You see, a defense lawyer tries to get you off. Oh, listen, I don't have a defense lawyer trying to find a loophole to make the guilty get away. Oh, no, I have an advocate. One who's took my part, one who's took my side, one who shed His blood that I might be saved, one who says to the judge, Father, this one's with me, Father, and woo, let him go in sweet forgiveness. Look at the mercy seat. I feel preaching coming on. Hey, I shed my blood that he might be saved. Thank God tonight for the love of God that has convinced my judge. Her love conquered her foe. She couldn't wrestle that baby away from that woman, but love was what got the job done. Hey, I'm reminded the devil is my foe. I am reminded that the devil wanted to kill me. He wanted to steal, to kill, and to destroy me. But Jesus came that I might have life, and that I might have life more abundantly, John 10:10. So there's the supremacy of the Savior's love. Then we talked about the selflessness of love. That's our fourth point, the selflessness of the Savior's love. His love, we said, is faithful. You know what? When I've been unfaithful to God, He's still faithful to me. Whew. You sit down and you talk to couples who maybe they've become estranged from one another and one was unfaithful to another, and to pay the one back, the other becomes unfaithful to pay back the one who was unfaithful. But friend, when I've been unfaithful to God, when I've said the worst thing I could say, when I've done the worst thing I could do, He's still faithful to me. Ooh, Lord, pardon me, but I'm about to get tore up. He's been faithful to me. I think about that song that young lady sang this morning. Man, that's still blessing me. She ought to sing it again in a little bit. You see, His love is faithful to me. He's never let me down. He's never disappointed me. He's always met and exceeded my expectations and my needs. He's always taken it to the highest court because He is the highest court. He's greater than the state courts. He's greater than the Supreme Court. He's the sovereign court of all glory. And His love has set me free. He's willing to give up on. He's unwilling to give up on me. He loves me. We had said that love feels for its object. Hear me for a second. His love feels for me. When my heart is broken, when my aspirations and my dreams are shattered, He is touched with the feeling of my infirmities. He knows my disappointment. He knows my defeat. He knows my distress. He knows what I'm going through. And He loves me and He feels what I'm going through. If it touches me, it touches Him.
We had mentioned earlier, you take two harps that are tuned together. If you pluck that certain string, that certain chord on the one harp, the other harp will begin to vibrate in the room. If you touch me, it touches God. Amen. His love feels for me. We talked about love and how she forfeited. She was willing to go through sorrow and disappointment for the rest of her life so that her son, her child, could live. His love forfeits for my good. What do you mean? He put me first. Preacher, what do you mean? He laid down his life for mine. What a song. His life for mine. His life, holy, harmless, sinless, spotless, pure, undefiled, given for me, unworthy, vile, wretched, depraved. Why would he give his life for mine? Love. Love, hallelujah. Love forfeits for my good. Will you hear me for a second? The Bible tells us that we're to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And that right there would cause every one of us, if you believe you can lose your salvation, I don't, but it caused every one of us to get lost again because we don't love our neighbors as ourselves. It's the truth. You may say that you do, oh, I love my neighbors, I love myself. Well, did you feed your neighbor today or did you feed yourself? Did you take care of your needs today or did you take care of your neighbor's needs? You see, you love yourself more than you love your neighbor, and you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus, he didn't just love his neighbor as himself. I need an amen right here. He loved his neighbor more than he loved himself in that he laid down his life that we might be saved. What a God. What a Savior. And I'll never be forsaken of God, because he was forsaken in my place when he laid down his life. I got one more point and I'm done. Number five. There's the satisfaction then of the Savior's love. This child was ready to be divided. The one woman said, cut him in half. Let him be neither mine nor thine. Preacher, she didn't say that. Oh, yes, she did. Let's find the verse in 1 Kings chapter 3. The Bible says in verse number 26 at the end of the verse, the other woman said, let it be neither mine nor thine. She says to Solomon, divide it. Go ahead and let it die. The other woman said, this is what she's saying, half a baby is as good as a whole baby. That's the devil's theology. He doesn't love you. He says he does, but all he's interested is destroying your life, cutting you down to half and then even further. He, oh my, Jesus loves you like nobody else could. And I want to say, because of that, his real love that he's extended to me has satisfied my soul. And I want to ask this question then. What does Jesus get from us? Does he get half of us? Does he get a quarter? Does he get 10%? Or does he get all of us? You know what God wants? He wants all of us. I love my wife. You know what I want? I want all of her. I want her mind. And I want her love. And I want her heart. I want her touch. I want her attention. That's what I want. If she walked up to me and said, hey, honey, I found another fella. And I'm going to be with you 5 days a week, but him, I'm going to be with him just 2 days a week. I'm going to spend time with him. We're going to have a problem. Because she's not wholly devoted to me. Hey, God wants my love. He wants me 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. He wants me devoted to him. That's what he wants. Oh, do you see here then the contrast between pure love and pretend love, between that which is real and that which is phony or counterfeit? You see, God doesn't just want a half a life. God wants a whole life. The Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul,
and with all thy might. Oh my, in this story, do you see the love of God that he has for you and for me? Pastor Darren, I've not looked at this text just like that. Honey, I'm telling you, when you look in the Word of God, look for Jesus in every line. Look for Jesus in every story. He's there if you'll look for him. You'll stand to your feet tonight. There might be somebody here you might want to say one more time today, Lord, I want to tell you I love you. Boy, your love won out in my life. You know what? The night I got saved, I wasn't as worried about going to hell as I was convicted because he loved me and gave his life for me. And man, his love for me, it just overwhelmed me. And his love won my heart. His love expressed got my attention. His love caused me to see myself as a sinner and myself impure and undefiled. And I called on him that night and he saved me. Father, tonight as we bow in your presence, we see the immeasurable, inexhaustible love of God. Father, here is a woman who loved her child, a woman that's a sinner, who loved it so much she was willing to live a life of defeat and disappointment, a life of sacrifice that her child might live. And in that, Father, I see a greater love, the love of God that shed his blood and laid down his life that I might be saved. God, I pray tonight, God, you'll hear me when I say, I love you because you first loved me. And God, when I've messed up royally, when I've made every lame brain excuse, Lord, when I've been defeated once again, you've been faithful. God, you've always been faithful. And I thank you tonight, God, for the faithfulness of God Almighty. I praise you, sir. And I thank you, God, that you've been there with us every step of the way. Lord, I've never been disappointed in trusting you. Father, I want to say one more time this day, I love you. And I thank you for first loving me. Lord, these favors I ask, God, Lord, would you help us, Lord, that we might love you, God, with all our hearts, all our souls, and all our minds. Help us to do so, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.